Welcome to Canvas Church. You are listening to our weekly celebration service message. Thank you for tuning in.
You know, it's New Year's, right? And so this last week, everybody's been trying to make resolutions, listening on the radio to these two guys talking on the radio. One guy says to the other guy, he says, "So, how are you doing on your New Year's resolution?" And the other guy said, "Fantastic, just so great." He says, "How's that?" He says, "Well, I didn't make any, so I haven't blown it at all." So, how are you doing on your resolutions? We're going to talk about resolve today out of the book of Daniel. So, Daniel chapter 1 is where we're going to start. And Daniel 1:1, as we're getting into our series on thriving and surviving and not surviving, but thriving, and we're talking about counterculture. We're going to be looking at Daniel chapter 1, and as Pastor Ben comes back, he's going to be getting into the rest of the first six chapters of the book of Daniel and looking at that together. But in Daniel chapter 1, if you just kind of follow along with me, I'm going to read out of the New Living Translation. You can follow along, and I'll say all the hard words. All right. "During the third year of the King Jehoiakim's reign in Judah, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon came to Jerusalem and besieged it." So we've got now the time frame. The time is 602 BC. This is when all this is taking place right now. That's when the besiege of Jerusalem took place. "The Lord gave him victory over King Jehoiakim of Judah and permitted him to take some of the sacred objects from the temple. So Nebuchadnezzar took them back to the land of Babylonia and placed them in the treasure house of his God. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, his chief of staff, to bring to the palace some of the young men of Judah's royal family and other noble families who had been brought to Babylon as captives. Select only strong, healthy, and good-looking young men." You want to be part of that group? Yeah, strong, healthy, good-looking. Yeah, we got some of those around here. He said, "Make sure they are well-versed in every branch of learning, are gifted with knowledge and good judgment." Okay, that might have eliminated some of our good-looking young men, but still, all right. There's some of those there in Israel. "And they are suited to serve in the royal palace." So they went, Nebuchadnezzar with Babylon, they came and they besieged Jerusalem. They took it captive and they brought some of the captives back. They looked about the young men and they said, "Okay, let's choose these guys. And then what are we going to do with them?" It says, "Train these young men in the language and literature of Babylon," verse 5. "The king assigned them a daily ration of food and wine from his own kitchens. They were to be trained for 3 years." So this was a college of sorts, and they were going to go through training for 3 years. "And then they would enter the royal service. Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah were four of the young men chosen, all from the tribe of Judah. The chief of staff renamed them with these Babylonian names. Daniel was called Belteshazzar, Hananiah was called Shadrach, Mishael was called Meshach, and Azariah was called Abednego." I am a professional. Don't try that at home. All right? I'm reading all those words. Okay. No, I'm kidding. You know, and you know, I have no idea if that's how the pronunciation is. It just flows from my tongue, so I don't care how it really is pronounced. Those are the names, and that's how I say it. All right, next verse. "But Daniel was determined not to defile himself by eating the food and wine given to them by the king." All right, let's pray. Father God, we thank you for today. We thank you for the word of the Lord. Lord, as we elevate that now and think about it and meditate on it and preach about it and teach about it, I pray that your spirit does his job and he's going to teach us and train us and things that even I don't say, you are going to be speaking into hearts and minds today so that we can all be encouraged and edified and lifted up and built up in you and challenged by the word of the Lord. We ask these things in Jesus' name. All right, so we're looking at verse 8 now, and this is going to be our key text here. All right, verse 8. We're talking about verse 8. It says, "But Daniel was determined not to defile himself." Determined not to defile himself. If you're on your notes now in your phone, I'm just following down my notes in your app there. The NIV for that phrase there says Daniel resolved not to defile himself. The New American Standard says he made up his mind not to defile himself. King James, New King James says, he purposed in his heart not to defile himself. So something about taking the king's wine and the king's food, Daniel thought would be defiling to himself. So he resolved, he determined, he purposed, he made up his mind that he was not going to do that. I want to talk to you today about that aspect of resolve. Biblically now, out of Daniel, what can we learn about making a resolution and following through with it? That's where I'm going today. I want to talk to you about biblical ways to successfully keep your resolutions. My first thought today is that you got to make sure it's pleasing to God. You know, whatever your resolve is, last week maybe you made it, maybe you haven't yet, and I'm encouraging you today to make a resolution now before the Lord. Make sure it is pleasing to God. One scholar said this about Daniel's specific situation, that Daniel was manifesting his strength of character in purposing to abstain from the king's meat and wine. It was a character issue. I'm not going to do that. Another scholar says that eating from the king's table assumed loyalty to the king. And as a good Jew, he had only one king. It was Jehovah. So, all right. Another scholar says this, that the food was simply unclean. And Daniel considered that it would make him guilty of idol worship. Whatever it was, the simple fact is that Daniel decided eating that and drinking that would displease God. And so he resolved in himself, I will not do this. Now, as a church, we're collectively starting a fast today. And I want to talk to you about resolve and then what happens once you make a resolve. Because here, if you're going to just this simple thing today, I'm going to fast this week. Fasting is pleasing to God. Maybe you're making some other resolve, and we'll get to those in a little bit. Well, those things can be pleasing to God. And so here we have in Daniel 1, verse 9, the continuation of the story. So let's look at Daniel 1, verse 9 now. It says, now God had given the chief of staff both respect and affection for Daniel, but he responded, I'm afraid of my lord, the king, who has ordered that you eat this food and wine. If you become pale and thin compared to the other youths your age, I'm afraid the king will have me beheaded. So to this chief steward, this was a serious matter. Daniel refusing to eat the wine and food of the king, and the chief steward here, he's looking at this and he's going, hey, man, if you don't look good, I'm going to lose my head over this. And so this is a serious matter to me. So Daniel and him, they're going to dialogue. Verse 11, Daniel spoke with the attendant who had been appointed by the chief of staff to look after Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And he said, verse 12, please test us for 10 days on a diet of vegetables and water. Vegetables and water. So if you're eating just vegetables and water, you're under a test. No. That's really what the text said about them. I was kidding about vegans, you know, or vegetarians. And I don't really have a problem with vegan or vegetarians. If you want to be a vegan or vegetarian, bless you. Here we have in the story, though, get out of this hot water quick. Daniel said, at the end of the 10 days, see how we look compared to the other young men who are eating the king's food. Then make your decision in light of what you see. The attendant agreed to Daniel's suggestion and tested them for 10 days. All right, so we've got this testing that's going to go on. I want to talk to you about what happens when you make a resolve, whatever it might be. For Daniel, it was, I'm not going to eat that food. It's going to defile me somehow, and it's displeasing to God. So whatever your resolve might be coming up this year, when you make a resolve, what happens? Well, we see in Daniel's story, the first thing that he did, my second point was, use wisdom, but make it public. If you're going to make a resolve, make it public. I am not at all suggesting Facebook, Instagram, whatever other things there are out there. Online, I am not at all suggesting that, because then the whole world knows, but if you feel like that's what you want to do and you're making it public, fine. But here it is. He made it public to a servant and a chief steward, but he didn't tell the king. So it was a limited sphere of who's going to know that Daniel is doing this, and maybe the other guys that were also in this 3-year training period, maybe they knew, but here Daniel said, I'm resolved, I'm making a statement, and I'm making it out loud to you guys. And the king never found out. So while Daniel made it public, he didn't tell the king. Third thing I see out of this making a resolve is don't do it alone. Don't do it alone. Here we have Daniel with his 3 companions, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, or whatever you want on their Hebrew names. And as a group now, the 4 of them, they decided to do this together. I see that when you're making a resolve, it's easier if you have someone with you. You know, how many of you tried to do some kind of exercise program or something, and you say, okay, I'm gonna exercise 30 minutes every day. And if you're by yourself, then you're looking at the whatever and you're saying, yeah, all right. But if there's somebody that can help you be accountable, you know, it's just that little accountability, whether it's on Zoom or a phone call or a text or something, how you doing today? Having somebody else in a marriage, 2 spouses holding each other accountable for whatever the decision is, that's a wonderful thing. You can still do things by yourself, and the Bible is replete with stories like that, and we're going to tell one a little bit later. But here we have, don't do it alone if you can. Try to involve somebody else. That's just good, sound wisdom there. And my 4th thought is start small. Daniel, he said, just test me for 10 days. Start small. His 10 days went to 3 years, which went to a lifestyle for him, and we see that progression in all resolutions. If we can start small and be successful, then we go on to the next step, next step, next step. Pretty soon, it's a lifestyle. My 5th thought is, whenever you make a resolution, be ready to be tested. Be ready to be tested. You say, wow, pastor's going through this list of things really, really fast. We're almost done. No, this is where I'm starting right now. Okay, so be ready to be tested. I want to tell you this. The moment you resolve to do better in any area of your life, it seems the entire universe stands against you and immediately starts attacking or testing you. How many of you found that to be true? Yeah, you just make some little resolve here, okay. All right, I'm not going to watch TV anymore. Or whatever it might be. I'm not going to do this or that. And immediately something comes in. I'm going to stop eating sugar. Immediately. I'm going to stop drinking sodas. Immediately. You get tempted in all these ways. And here's your resolve. And then immediately things come against you. How about this one? I'm going to pray every day. I'm going to start tomorrow. And then tomorrow your alarm rings and you got to go to work or whatever. And you don't have that few minutes that you were designated. You know, everything comes against you. The universe detests commitment. Let me just say it like that. You know, God loves commitment. Everything in nature and culture detests commitment, but God's elevating it. So here we have Daniel now. He says, okay, just test me now. And immediately he was tested. So when you make a resolve, attacks against your resolve can come from several areas. I just want to be clear about this now. Number one, they can be Satan himself or his demons. I doubt that Satan himself has ever bothered any of you. I mean, there's only one bad angel there, and there's, you know, 8 billion of us around the world or whatever. So maybe not Satan himself, but maybe one of his demons. What does the Bible say? 1 Peter 5:8. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. A few years back, I was in Africa on one of my mission trips. And I had some days in between seminars, and somebody said, hey, you want to go on a safari? And I said, oh, sure. Yeah. Now, this was many years ago, and all I had brought was my little Instamatic camera. You know, I had a little teeny Instamatic because it wasn't much for pictures. I was there to preach. And so we get on this bus, the safari thing. They're going to go into the jungles and everything. Here's these people with these, you know, 6-foot telephoto lenses and stuff. And I'm just there with my Instamatic. Oh, okay. But anyway, here we go. And now the driver, he starts going. He says, let me tell you about these lions. See those lions over there? This is how they hunt their prey. So the male lion, the head of the pride there, he will sniff some prey somewhere. He'll there's prey, and then he'll just sit there, and then he'll start roaring. But he'll turn his head and go, roar, and then he'll go, roar, and then he'll go, roar. And his voice, his roar, just kind of paralyzes the prey. Now, the pride, they're aware, he's roaring, there's something out there, so they're all alert. And they hear something, see something, and then they go for it because now the roar coming from different directions will paralyze the prey until they see something and they just stand still. And that's exactly what the young lionesses want. They go and pounce on them and boom, dinner. And so the guy was telling me that this is what a lion does. He roars and tries to paralyze the prey. Isn't that exactly what happens in your life? Here, you're going to do something. You're going to do something good for the kingdom of God or for yourself. And all of a sudden, the lion roars at you. Ah, you can't do it. You're nobody. You're nothing. Rawr! And then you're just paralyzed. Oh, no, the devil. Well, that's not what the plan of God is. Not at all. So it says, resist the devil. You just stand up and say, no. No, I made a resolve here, and I'm not going to give in to the temptations of the devil. No, I'm not going to listen to the roar of the enemy. I'm going to listen to the roar of the lion of the tribe of Judah. How's that? Oh, yes. All right. I like that one. All right, so here we go. We're talking about being tested. We can also be tested by yourself. Let's go to James 1. I'll come back to Daniel in a little bit. But if you have your Bible, turn over to James. Or in your phone, and who's faster, me or your phone? I'm already there. James chapter 1, verse 12. James 1, 12. God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterward, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. Verse 14. Temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. One of your greatest enemies is yourself. Is that not true? There was years and years ago, 30, 40 years ago, I don't even know how long ago, there was a cartoon strip in the newspaper, and it was Pogos. And he says, we have found the enemy in one little strip. And the next strip it says, and he is us. Is that not profound? We found the enemy, and it's me. Do you not shoot yourself in the foot so often? You understand what that means, right? Cowboy, he's got his gun, you know, and he's ready to pull his gun, and then all of a sudden he shoots, and he shoots right through his own foot. Shoots himself in the foot. Sometimes you are your own worst enemy by planning on failing, okay? You're going to say, okay, I'm going to get up in the morning, and I'm going to pray. And then what do? You stay up late the night before until your eyes are bloodshot. You just can't stay awake any longer. And then you fall asleep. And then in the morning, you're in no mood, no way, shape, form to pray. You know, sometimes you are your own worst enemy. Can I hear an amen on that? And we're drug away by our own evil desires. And we're enticed. And we do that. And so here we make a good resolve, and then we shoot ourselves in the foot. It's like, what in the world am I doing? Be aware of that. The third thing that can happen is James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4. Different situations can take place in your life. Verse 2, James 1. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know... If you didn't understand that first verse, here's the explanation. When troubles come your way, consider it great joy, an opportunity for great joy. Is that how you respond when troubles come your way? Or watch out, dog, you're ready to kick the dog or something, you know. Rah! Oh, man, problems. Rah! Look out, people, don't get around me. Rah! Yeah, consider it great joy when troubles come your way. Oh, hallelujah, my car just broke down. Or whatever the situation might be. It says, for you know that. Maybe we don't know this. Here, let me share some knowledge with you. For we know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. Last week, Pastor Ben was mentioning this word endurance or patience there. And it's that word that we're going to persevere, we're going to get through, and we're going to be cheerful on the other side. Yeah, so when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. And I love NLT here. So let it grow. So let it grow. Yeah, which means just let it come and just embrace the moment and say, God is still on the throne. I'm going to get through this somehow. Hallelujah. That's maturity right there. You know, you got a young Christian coming to the Lord and something happens to him, like, say, a bill comes. And, oh, unexpected bill, and it's going to really ding their budget. And the baby Christian's going to look at that and go, ay, 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 what in the world's going to happen to me? I don't know. A mature believer is going to look at that and say, wow, well, here's another opportunity for God to show himself strong on our behalf. I have no idea what we're going to do, but praise God, he's going to help us. Same bill coming, but different reactions because of experience and maturity. And that's what God wants. He wants us to be refined. So James 1 says, so let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect or mature and complete, needing nothing. So we have all these things that can come against us. The beauty of it is that God allows the testing and the trial. He's not sending them, but he's allowing them to come to your doorstep, to your life, to your mind, to your life, whatever it might be. Remember, there was 10 days of testing here. That's notable in the scripture, 10 days of testing. It's found throughout the Bible. Abraham, he lived in Canaan for 10 years, and then Ishmael was born. We have Jacob, had his wages changed 10 times. The nation of Israel, it says, tested God 10 times. The shadow on Hezekiah's sundial went backwards 10 degrees as there was a test involved there. Job said that his friends reproached him, criticized him 10 times. And the Smyrna church in the book of Revelation would suffer persecution for 10 days. It's significant. 10 is the number of testing in the Bible, and it has to happen in your life. Don't reject the testing. Embrace the testing and somehow work through it and say, this is going to produce in me some endurance. It's going to be a character development situation. I don't know how we're going to get out of this. I don't know how I am going to deal with this, but God is God. God is going to help me. God is going to help us get through this, whatever the situation might be. 10 days of testing, because testing is ultimately beneficial. A young boy found a cocoon of an emperor moth one day as he was outside, and he took it home to watch it because it was wiggling around. And after a little bit, a little opening appeared on the edge of the cocoon, and he watched it for several hours, hoping that this moth would come out. He knew what was inside, that this moth would come out and would just fly away, and he'd just be happy. He wanted to watch it. But it struggled and struggled and struggled, and the opening didn't get any bigger, so he thought he'd help out the moth. So he got some scissors, and he snipped the end of the cocoon. And right away, that moth just plopped out with a big, thick belly and scrawny little wings, and he just laid there and flopping around. And the little boy just watched and watched, and the moth died. What in the world? You see, God had arranged that when the moth is trying to come out of the cocoon, it needs to struggle in order for those body fluids to fill the wings so that he can fly when he emerges. Little boy didn't have any clue that it was beneficial for that struggle. He thought he would help it out and just give a shortcut for the moth. But we don't get shortcuts in life. You know that? God has a way in each and every one of your lives. He's training you. He's teaching you. And you have to go through the situations in order to develop endurance, in order for character to be developed. You got to go through the situations. And as you go through it, you come out the other side. Then you can say, blessed be the name of the Lord. He has helped me and he will continue to help me. So it's a time of making resolves right now. Resolves that do not displease God. And so I'm asking you, what kind of resolves are you contemplating right now? As a church, we're asking you to join us in this fasting and prayer time for this week, sure. But how about this year? How about your life? How about the next 5 years, next 10 years? You got some resolutions working inside of you, something that you're going to think about and pray about and make a decision on. How about to God? Have you thought about increasing your times of personal discipline where you're actually praying or actually reading your Bible? Just before Christmas, I was announced to my wife, praise God, I did it again, hallelujah. I finished the Bible this last year. It's been my custom since I was 22 years old. You can figure that out, how many times I've read the Bible through. And so it's just, praise God, it happened. It's my lifestyle. I read it every day. I pray every day. And it's just something I've resolved, and I've done it, and I make it. Okay, so that's my lifestyle. How about you? Do you want to increase it a little bit? Maybe a little bit more, maybe instead of 1 minute, 2 minutes of prayer? I mean, you might smile, but for some people, 2 minutes of prayer is like a mountain. Especially if they're deciding to do it because of this principle. They will get tested. Life will come in. If it's a mother, kids will mess up, do everything possible. Husband will do everything possible. If it's a husband, the wife, the kids, it's a whatever. If it's you're single, all of a sudden life comes apart just because you committed to 2 minutes of prayer. You don't believe me? Do it. Resolve yourself for 2 minutes of prayer and see what happens in your world. Everything is going to come against you. How about Bible reading? Have you decided to read the Bible every day? Jeremiah 15:16, your words were found, and I did eat them, and they were unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. I love reading the Word of God. I don't understand every single page. I have more understanding because I'm an old guy now, but not every single page do I understand, but I still love reading the Word of the Lord and letting God talk to me. So are you having some resolves this year about where you're going as an individual believer? Are you going to increase it? Are you going to say, okay, I used to go to church once a month. Now I'm going to try for twice a month. Whatever it is, try it and see what happens. You're going to be tested and things are going to happen. Just make a resolve, whatever it will be, and you will be tested. But it helps if you know that the testing is coming. It's like when you are making a resolution, know that you will be tested on that. And plan for the testing. Just say, okay, Daniel said, go ahead and test me for 10 days. And you just see what happens. How about to your spouse or your family? Maybe you need to make a resolution about a little more time spent with them. Time is love, right? So more time with the family. More kindness with the family. How about on your job? Do you have some goals there? As a believer, you should be one of the best workers at your job. Wherever you're at and whatever you're doing, you should be one of the best, at least one of the best people of character. Can you say amen to that? And so, I heard that someone in the front said, by faith, that's me, yeah. We should have a resolution that I'm going to excel at my job. I'm not going to be lazy. I'm going to excel. I'm going someplace here. How about at school? How about getting your work done, young people? You know, what? Showing up. Oh, how about this COVID time where you got to log in and stuff like that? Oh, man. There's easy resolutions there and easy testing that comes there. Let me tell you. How about with church? Are you serving somewhere? Some of you have been coming for quite a while and you haven't found a place to serve yet. We want to help you do that. First thing you need to do is go through Growth Track so we can tell you what it's all about. And that happens on Sunday mornings during service. There's a Growth Track room back there. And Michelle and I, we're going to get you through Growth Track. And so that's there. And then once you're in the Growth Track, you can find a place to serve. Currently, we have several needs in the ministry teams. There's several little open spots and people getting sick and different things. And so if you want to serve, we got a place for you. How about a small group? a small group. We're starting those back up again soon. 17th, next Sunday, we're going to start the small groups up, and it's going to be an easy time for you to get with a small group where you make resolutions and you're not doing it alone. Yeah, we don't like to do things alone here at church. And so small group involvement. How about giving? Hey, I'm just laying it out there. Are you a giver? I remember before Christmas, I was preaching on generosity. Are you generous? Are you giving? Do you give 10%? Wow, Brother Steve, hey, it's a goal. How about 1%? How about 2%? Where are you at? Why don't you up it, whatever it was? Let's up it and see what God can do for you. God promises lots of great things for those who are giving. So all these resolutions, how about within yourself? How about character development? Got some resolutions there that you're going to be better, you're going to do better, you're going to, how about within your health? All right, here we go. I know the gyms are having troubles, and so, okay, whatever. Am I really talking about that? I'm talking about your personal resolves, whatever that might be. Do you have some resolves about your health? How about your finances? Have you decided that, okay, this year we're going to go with the big B word, the budget? Some of the older saints in the room are just kind of smiling because they've had to deal with that for 30, 40 years, whatever. But maybe the younger ones just thinking, what is a budget? Is that a nasty four-letter word, budget? No, it's to help you out. And so we got all these things that we can be doing here, making resolutions. These are just some suggestions. How is God speaking to you today? I'm encouraging you that Daniel decided, I am not going to resolve myself because it's displeasing to God. So what are you making a resolution for? Some people they laugh at making resolutions. You don't need to do all that stuff. Why not? That's not my question. Why not make resolutions? I know I'm going to be tested. I know I will be better for walking through those, whatever it is. And so I'm going to prayerfully think about these things, and I'm going to ask God, what areas can I make a resolution that you are pleased with that will help me out? Make a resolution. Let's go back to Daniel, finish the story here. In Daniel 1, 15 to 21, and I am in no way done with my sermon. Don't get excited about that. I'm just on my second point now. Okay, Daniel 1, if we start in verse 15. At the end of the 10 days, Daniel and his three friends looked healthier and better nourished than the young men who had been eating food. So they were blessed, they were promoted, and the king himself noticed that years later, he says, after they went into their three-year time, he says, these four guys here are 10 times better, verse 20 says, 10 times better at whatever they do than all these other young men that we trained. So my sixth point to you is this: never give up, never surrender. If you know where that quote came from, you're smiling with me. If you don't, you can Google it. Never give up, never surrender, and you can think that Pastor Steve created that quote. But he didn't. I just want to encourage you, though. When you make a resolve, you just got to hang in there. I remember one time I was in India, and I was preaching on this very thing, resolve. And so I was out in the jungle. It took 4 hours to get where we were going. And when we get there, there's a stage and there's thatched covering. And there's hundreds of people there. And I'm on the platform. And now we were in the edge of three different states. So I get there and they said, we want to introduce you to your interpreters. I said, what? I've never used interpreters before. How many we got? We got three interpreters. You're kidding me. No, because we're in this area, it's village and stuff, and some people speak only one language, and so we've got to have three interpreters. So I would stand and say, hi there, hi there, hi there, hi there. And then I would come back. I would watch the guy at the end, and then I would start again, try to get some kind of rhythm. It was horrible. And so there I am, and so I'm getting into my sermon. I said, you just got to hang in there. Now, that's a colloquialism, right? Okay, what does that mean, So I say, you just got to hang in there. This guy says something, this guy says something, this guy says something. And a pastor over here sitting behind me jumps up, Brother Steve, did you tell us to go hang ourselves from a tree? never give up, never surrender, always hang in there. Let's go to the story in the book of 2 Kings. 2 Kings. I will finish with this story this morning. 2 Kings. Here we have the story of Elijah and Elisha. One of my favorite stories in the Bible here. Elisha and Elijah. And it tells itself, explains itself right in verse 1. In 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 1. When the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind. Hello. Automatically, I'm wondering, what in the world? How did everybody know this? Did the prophet Elijah prophesy, on the 11th of January, I'm going to be taken up in a whirlwind? I don't know how it happened, but everybody in the story knows it's going to happen today. Let's watch. Elijah and Elisha were traveling from Gilgal. Gilgal is, if you got the geography of Israel, it's over by the Dead Sea, it's low. They're traveling from Gilgal, and they're going to go up to Bethel. Bethel is a straight walk uphill, maybe 25 kilometers, and it's going uphill to about 2,900 feet elevation. And so they're going up there, and Elijah said to Elisha, old guy said to the young guy, J comes before S in the alphabet. That's how I remember that Elijah came before Elisha. Just a little trick there. And so the old guy said to the young guy, he says, stay here, for the Lord has told me to go to Bethel. Listen to his response. But the young guy said, as surely as the Lord lives and you yourself live, I will never leave you. So they went down together to Bethel. The group of the prophets from Bethel came to Elisha and asked him, did you know that the Lord is going to take your master away from you today? We've got knowledge. Do you have knowledge? Do you know this, young guy? Of course I know it, Elisha answered, but be quiet about it. Then Elijah said to Elisha, stay here, for the Lord has told me to go to Jericho. Same thing happens. No, I won't. As the Lord lives, I'm going to stay with you. They get there. The young guys gather around the school of the prophets. Now, what you got to understand is, at this time, Elijah, getting ready to die, he had in his lifetime established four Bible colleges. One in Gilgal, one in Bethel, one in Jericho, one near the Jordan. All right, so these four Bible colleges, and he would travel around and teach and mentor these young guys, or I don't know how old they were, these people who wanted to be prophets. So they are all wannabe prophets. Elisha wants to be a prophet. And now the old man is saying to the young guy, why don't you stay here with these guys? They're just like you. They're your friends. You hang out with them. I'm going over here. And the young guy says, not on your life. No, with all due respect, master, I will never leave you. I'm going to stick with you. And so it happens again and again and again. Finally, after the last time we come down, it says, verse 7. So 50 men from the group of the prophets also went and watched from a distance as Elijah and Elisha stopped by the Jordan River. So, what I know that you might not, there's no bridge. So, the 50 guys from the school of the prophets, they also know there's no bridge. They also know that their master is a miracle worker. And they are pumped, excited today, as they say, hoo-hoo, he's going to the Jordan. Let's see what happens. How is he going to get across the Jordan? There's no bridge there. There isn't even a boat of any kind, nothing. How is he going to get there? And so they're watching him, they're watching, and they're standing on the bank of the Jordan River as the old man and the young man come down to the river. As they get to the river, Elijah takes off his coat. And it says, and Elijah folded his cloak together and struck the water with it. The river divided, and the two of them went across on dry ground. Ho, ho, ho. Could you imagine what the 50 guys are saying on the hillside? They're over there, they're watching, they go, and look, 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 he's taking off his coat. Oh, wait, 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 here he goes. Oh, ha, ha. Look, look, the water's opening up. Oh, man, I'm seeing a miracle, man. I'm there so pumped, man. I want to be a prophet of God so bad. Oh, this is great. And there they walk across. Now, when they get across, imagine the old guy's just got enough flair to him that he looks back at the river and kind of gives it a little, okay. As the waters come back. And then they start walking on. Now it's just the two of them. 50 guys are still watching from the other side of the river. Whoa, did you see that? I'm so pumped. I saw a miracle, man. I don't know if I'll ever see another miracle the rest of my life. Oh, that's so wonderful. So there they two are walking off. And the old guy turns to the young guy. Verse 9. When they came to the other side, Elisha said to Elisha, tell me what I can do for you before I'm taken away. Ha, ha, ha. I am so glad you asked me that. And Elisha replied, please let me inherit a double share of your spirit and become your successor. Oh, the old man. I can hear him. Oh. He says, you have asked a difficult thing. And he ponders it for how long, I have no idea. Looks at the young guy, thinks about life, thinks about his God's going to take him somehow miraculously any minute, any second. Looks at the young guy and he says, if you see me when I am taken from you, then you will get your request. But if not, then you won't. Sounds pretty simple. Hang in there. Never give up. Never surrender. And so here we come. Yeah, okay, they're walking along, and the Bible says, and as they were walking along, old guy and the young guy walking along, back there's 50 guys just pumped. Whoa, we saw a miracle. Young guy standing there, heart thumping, this is it. I want a double portion. Old guy. Well, if you hang in there, if you see me when I'm taken, okay. But if you don't, I don't know when it's coming. If you don't, you won't get it. And as they walked along, could you imagine them walking along, old guys? He's checking out the horizon. He's saying, okay, what's God going to do? What's the young guy looking at? Zero laser beam on the old guy. If you see me when I am taken, I am sure his eyes are laser focused on the old guy. They're walking along. Stumbles on a tree branch, a rock, whatever. He's walking along. He's got his eyes focused on the old guy. So much so that this is what has to happen. As they were walking along and talking, suddenly a chariot of fire appeared, drawn by horses of fire. It drove between the two men, boom, separating them. And Elijah was carried by a whirlwind into heaven. He's going up. Young guy on the ground. Father! Don't forget the coat! I'm making this up. Don't forget the jacket! Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Hold the chariot just for a second. Here we go. He pulls it off. Woo! It drops to the ground. Young guy checks it out. Says, okay, see you, old man. Beans over, picks it up. Oh. See, the jacket was the sign of a prophet. This was the symbol now that, okay, I've got the ministry. What I've been wanting my whole life is now here. I don't know how close he was to the Jordan River, but pretty close, because it says the 50 guys were still watching. Picks up the jacket, looks at this, turns around, looks back. Hey, guys, I got it. I don't know if he was taunting them or not. But they wanted what he wanted. They all wanted to be prophets. What made the difference? Some determination, some perseverance, some stick-to-itiveness. I will never leave you. Old man tried to discourage him. No, I won't be discouraged. I'm going to do this. I'm going to hang in there. How about you when it comes to your resolve? Okay, I'll pray 2 minutes tomorrow morning, and then, oops, alarm was like, just can't do it today. Boom. What kind of resolve is that? What kind of determination is that? Come on, guys. That is not an Elisha spirit upon you there. We need that Elisha spirit that says, no matter what, I'm going to stick in there. I'm going to do this. I'm going to hang in there. I'm going to get what I'm asking from God. I've got a resolution, and I'm going to work on it. The beauty of the story, it concludes, is Elisha, the young guy with the coat, he turns around and he walks back to the river. Let's flip the scenario. The guys are over there now. So on the river, there's 50 guys. He walks up to the river. He looks at them. They're just, he looks at the river, looks at the coat, and he shouts out big and loud, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And he throws the coat down, and the waters open up. And he said, ah, praise God. Lifts this thing, and he starts walking across. And the young guys on the other side, woohoo, we saw a second miracle today. Well, this guy, the young guy, later on goes to like do 18 miracles in his life that's notable in the scriptures. And we don't hear about any miracles from those 50 guys. Just saying. How about you today? Resolve. Resolution. Let's bow our heads right now. What is God asking you to do? Daniel, he just knew intuitively, I can't eat that bread and that wine. I can't eat that meat and that wine. I can't do that. Just everything in me shouts out, no, I can't do that. Is there anything in you like that right now? You're doing something you probably shouldn't be doing, or you're not doing something you should be doing, and something inside of you is shouting out, man, that's not pleasing to God. I need to change my ways somehow. I want you just to listen to the Spirit of the Lord for a few minutes here now. Well, not minutes, but a few seconds. Is God speaking to you? Did he say something to you during the preaching of the sermon? I gave several suggestions. I believe the Spirit of God is speaking to you now, and he's making this sermon unique. You are hearing something from the Spirit of God. I'll be quiet for a second. So what I'm asking you to do as we close this service today, I'm asking you to make a decision now, to make some kind of resolution. At the very minimum, I want you to help with our fasting and prayer time in the church. We need to seek God. We need to hear from God. Whatever it is that you can do, you need to do that this week. Fasting, TV, or sugar, whatever you want to do, but however you feel like you could work that out. And I don't want to stop anybody. If you want to go on a 3-day fast, just water, well, if you know what you're doing, then go for it. What is it that God's asking you to do? Father God, we come to you right now. In this moment where I believe the Spirit of God is sovereignly working in hearts and minds and talking to people. Help us, Lord, with resolve. Now, if you believe the Spirit of the Lord is speaking to you, then I gave you several suggestions. I think you ought to make it public to a friend, spouse, somebody. Say, this is what I want to do. Ask them to help you. If you don't have that ability, you're just you, before the Lord, you need to say it out loud. God, before you, I'm resolving to do this, whatever it is. Knowing full well that 10 days of testing are coming, or a time of testing is coming, immediately. But God wants you to work through that. He wants you to endure. He wants your character to be developed. He wants you to grow and mature in Him. Father God, we thank you for speaking to all of our hearts and minds today. Pray that, Lord God, we would go from here with a clear understanding of what you have asked us to do today. And if you haven't made it clear to anybody, then make it clear in the next little bit, tonight, tomorrow, Lord God. Whatever it is you want to do in all of our lives, we ask that we, like Daniel, are able to be resolved to serve you in a better way. We're asking these things in Jesus' name. And while you're still in this attitude of prayer and those online watching, if you've never received Jesus as your Savior and you would like to do that today, I just want to make that opportunity available to you. Jesus died for your sins. If you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you those sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Because the love of God's poured out, and he wants to draw you to him today. So if there's anybody here, and you say, Pastor Steve, just pray for me. I really don't know Jesus, but I'd like to. Raise your hand right now. I'll include you in a word of prayer as we're closing the service today. Anybody here? Okay, then. How about this? How many felt like the Spirit of the Lord spoke to you today about some type of resolution, and you're going to make that before the Lord? How many of you would raise your hand in that way? Yeah, hands all over the building. Sure. Father God, we thank you. Thank you for speaking to us, being so real to us. Help us in these days, we ask in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Amen. Would you stand together? Amen. May the blessings of our God be upon you this day and forevermore. Amen. You're dismissed.
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, please visit our website at www.canvaschurchsd.com.